sounds good.
You're on the air. Welcome.
We were we played my name is Mike. I'm the host of this show. You got Joe and my brother Clown Baby is over there. And
about a little clown action.
We were just talking about the migrant crisis, and we were talking about the Paris attacks, and we played your 3-minute video blog about, you know, French media, kind of as an intro to you. We talked about your Empire en Masse movie.
Nice.
And so I watched a bunch of your videos. Where do you stand right off the bat? I know we're getting into this right away. How should people respond to the migrant crisis in Europe? It seems like it could be the next rise of the Fourth Reich.
Well, you know, it's funny. We're coming up on Thanksgiving, and some people are using that as an example. And I said, that's not a good analogy, because the Indians let the European refugees in, and what happened? They murdered them all. But, yeah, some of it's overblown. Some of it's based on xenophobia, and some of it is legitimate. I mean, with any group of refugees, you're going to have a mixture. Everybody's kind of right, and everybody's kind of wrong. There are definitely war-torn refugees who are fleeing with their families and trying to survive, and that's absolutely true. There are also going to be terrorists mixing in with them, trying to use that as cover to get in and do terrorist attacks. That's all true. And it's, you know, your heart wants to help the refugees who are legit, not just economic seekers, not people just looking for welfare. There's definitely a war in Syria and definitely people trying to get out. But then your mind says, well, how do we know, especially given how ISIS and the FSA has these tight relationships with intelligence agencies who do not have any qualms about killing their own people? How do we know they're not going to let them in on purpose? And that's also correct. And so the safe thing to do, but the very cruel thing to do at the same time, would be to not let them in. However, as of today, I've got about 1 million Syrians returned back to Syria because the ISIS's capital has been decimated by the Russians. So they're already moving back to Syria. So there might not be a crisis.
That's very interesting. I didn't hear about that, but you obviously keep up on geopolitics and world news.
That was like 3 a.m. this morning on RT. They were talking about it, and you knew that was coming. And see, I don't like being pigeoned into having to answer a certain way, because I say that's starting the story in the middle. If we weren't financing on the Israelis' behalf, the FSA, the conduit for ISIS, to build this group up to attack Assad, there wouldn't be a war and there wouldn't be any refugees. You know, if that's what has to be resolved, rather than just reacting to a problem at the very end of it. You know, you have to go back and look at your own foreign policies. And, you know, if it wasn't for the, you know, the IMF and certain banking policies throughout Africa, there wouldn't be so many migrants, you know, just looking for better work either. You wouldn't have any of these kinds of conflicts if it wasn't for things. And in the United States, things like NAFTA, you wouldn't have so many Mexicans trying to get to the United States if you didn't decimate their economy through NAFTA and oversubsidize agribusiness, et cetera. No one looks at the cause. They just act like, oh, it's just natural. And I would like to spend more time on the causes and solutions so that we could solve the problem rather than reacting to it.
I guess that's a smart way to do it, if you want to do that.
Just one thing I wanted to say, with ISIS, obviously Israel has no qualms bombing in Syrian territory, Hezbollah, when they think weapons are going their way. But in an organization like ISIS, they've never attacked, which who I would assume would not be too friendly to Israel, but it really kind of draws a blank whenever Israel completely ignores them and their next door neighbors.
Israel assassinated the anti-ISIS commander in Lebanon.
Well, okay, there we go.
And every time Israel's bombed Syria, they've bombed Assad. They've never touched ISIS. That's the whole purpose of ISIS, is to destabilize Syria. These guys wrote this out, this as an Israeli strategist named Oded Yanan. He wrote out the policy paper for Iraq and then Syria. And they what happened in Iraq is exactly what he described. They were going to go in and divide it and then get religious factions, Shiite, Sunni, and Kurdish minorities fighting with each other. And he laid out the regional zones and where that would happen and how they could do it. And that's exactly what they did. Now, ISIS, you have to break up into a couple tiers. The lower brass, these guys, a lot of them are in their 20s. And so from the time they've been maybe 8 to 15 years old, growing up in Iraq, a lot of them, all they've known is war. Probably they I guarantee every single one of them has had some relative killed at some point. If you look at a million people dead in Iraq, you know, their fathers were beaten and abused, their brothers, et cetera. I mean, that's what they witnessed. And so, yeah, they are willing to cut off heads and do all the atrocious things we've seen them do. They've grown up in a state of war. Before that, you had a 500,000 people starving to death between the sanctions and the oil for food program. And then there was Gulf War One, where another 100,000 were killed and the whole country was humiliated, et cetera. So people who grow up in that kind of environment are attracted to ideologies like Wahhabi Islam and so on. Like, I'm not saying, I'm not defending them at all. I'm just explaining it.
And I think that that's, I like that angle a lot, because in this country, what we do is we divide it into George Bush, the father's Iraq war, and then Clinton's campaign in Iraq, and then Bush Jr.'s campaign in Iraq. And like, they're all separate for us. But for Iraqi people, this has been almost a half a century of decimation by the U.S. and its Western allies.
Right. And the younger people, that's all they've ever known.
Yeah.
That's all they've ever known. And so that's what they see. So that's, I said there are two tiers. So your lower brass useful idiot is someone like that. And they're just willing to kill the Americans or whatever. They're not very educated. They don't, you know. And a lot of these madras and so-called Islamic schools have been, you know, financed through our conduit in Saudi Arabia, but on purpose for Gladio-type operations. And that's a long story, but I can prove it. But I want to get to the second tier, because the second tier is the upper brass, the management wing of ISIS. Now, these guys are sitting there sipping tea in hotels in Turkey. They don't do any of the fighting, but they do. They decide and plan the attacks. And these guys are completely in bed with the CIA and the Mossad. And the CIA and Mossad in that part of the world aren't really separate factions. They're all still part of that old safari club, which is explained in the Empire Unmasked. But this is for Israeli interests. There's no benefit to ousting Assad or really Saddam. And there's no benefit for the sanctions that were placed on Iran for the Americans or Europeans. In fact, it really hurts the Europeans, because it's a major source of gas and oil. And with Gazprom shutting off oil in Ukraine, they really need it. That's why the sanctions are being lifted on Iran. But they never should have been there in the first place. The only country that benefits from this, the only country whose foreign policy has been saying this since the 80s, is the Israelis.
Yeah.
I mean, Netanyahu literally came to Congress and said, Iraq, Iran, and Libya, and Syria. I mean, he laid out the four countries who wanted wiped out. Two are already down. Three are really already down. Iran's the only one left. And ultimately, they want to squash Hezbollah and expand Greater Israel. I mean, they just announced yesterday over 400, I think it was 424 or 454 new settlements in Jerusalem. I mean, even the American president, as Zionist as they are, I mean, the only country more Zionist than America probably might be Canada, is as opposed to settlements. Because, I mean, hardcore, even Alan Dershowitz is against bulldozing down houses because it's bad PR, not because he has any moral qualms about killing Palestinians. But, you know, it's just a bad, it's strategically bad, you know, at least they got some line.
Well, isn't Dershowitz the guy who's accused of having sex with underage girls and all that kind of stuff, too, right? He's connected with all that Clinton stuff from earlier this year.
Yeah, and that should have been a much bigger story than it was. He's also a plagiarist and just, you know, he attaches himself to lawsuits that are already like practically won so that he could say, ah, see, I was involved in that. And
yeah,
but a lot of Israeli lawsuits are just for show, for PR, like the famous or infamous dancing Israelis of 9/11. They said they were going to sue for their ill treatment to make it look like they were innocent. Of course, they never served the papers. So there was absolutely no chance that was ever going to go to court. And you knew that wasn't going to happen, because that's the last thing in the world they want, is an open trial about them filming the first plane hitting and celebrating the attacks. Yeah. And so on.
And that's the same thing with the Denny Hastert stuff. That's why he pled out, is because they don't want to expose all the pedophilia within the halls of Congress.
Yeah, and the UK's got their own problems with the same thing, but also the same lawyer of the Dancing Israelis sued Jimmy Carter for his book Peace Not Apartheid in Palestine, or Palestine Peace Not Apartheid. And again, they never served the papers. It was just a stunt, you know.
Nice. I have two questions. I want to know, you might have the answer to this. Who is buying the ISIS black market oil?
Okay, so it's going to Turkey. And then there are a number of buyers. And what I've heard from an FSB agent is that the Russians actually have discovered a lot of these buyers and are currently blackmailing. They went to the G20 with this information and said, guys, they're going to knock it off or we're going to expose all of this. Now, you know, I heard there was some couple U.S. senators involved in that, but you have to have, you know, the common sense would say if you're going to sell this black market oil and you're going to have plausible deniability, which is this sort of systematic historical method they always use, then you're going to have to turn to somebody with the organizational capacity that's already in place, and that's going to be organized crime. So I would just look right at the organized crime in Turkey. It's going to be the mafia there because that's this geographically where the oil has to go. And those are the people that are going to be the middleman who are the same guys who are involved in the heroin trade. So, I mean, it's not rocket science, really. I mean, you can just use deduction and figure out who it has to be.
I can probably name those senators and John McCain and Lindsey Graham.
John McCain. John McCain's father was involved in the USS Liberty, you know, Admiral McCain.
Wasn't he one of the cover-up guys?
He was. I mean, the McCain family is deeply tied to some Zionist wealth there, too, through liquor. And they're just – John McCain is – he's probably suffering from massive PTSD.
They call I would him say Sonder so. McCain.
We were talking about a story.
He grinds his teeth so much, he's swollen his jaw up, like, all fat. And like, I saw him in the Senate halls one time, and I swear, he's this little dude, but he was just cussing, and no one was there. He was just swearing to himself and, like, gritting his teeth, like, yelling at the wall. Like, where's John McCain? He's like a Seattle old man walking down the Hart Building. Like,
sorry.
Oh, I can say those words.
You can say wait.
Yeah, he was dropping F bombs then.
I was just talking about piss porn earlier, so you're good.
Yeah. All right. Well, all right, we're talking about kids getting killed, so.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? You know, death and murder is okay, but don't say a bad word.
Well, that's our society. I did have a follow up question. We talk about a lot of different subjects on this podcast, and one thing that keeps coming up over and over again is that there always seems to be a weird drill going on anytime an event happens, and either the drill is there to cover things up or it's there to obfuscate what's really going on. What is your view on these training exercises that always occur?
Yeah, or to confuse people. I think, one, there are a lot of training exercises all the time, so it's kind of overstated. Unless the training exercise is specifically like exactly like the event or something, that's definitely strange. Like 9/11 had some drills like that, but you constantly have that. And I think part of that too is to say, like, I don't think Paris was a false flag, but there have been many in the past. And I think what's going on there too could be they're saying, well, look, it's less incompetent if it looks like you kind of almost had it, like you were sort of training for. Like you almost had the plan and you expected something like that. You just had the day wrong or whatever. So, you know, less people look like ass clowns when it happens. But it's not really necessary. I mean, you can do it with or without the drill. It doesn't really have a big impact.
And I've kind of picked up, I've listened to quite a few of your stuff. You're very well spoken. You don't stutter or stammer. You're a good looking guy, very professional in how you talk about things. You don't like Alex Jones.
Yeah, Melonhead? No. Yeah.
I don't think it's funny.
Description.
Yeah, he is.
What is your problem?
I actually animated a character with a watermelon head in Empire Unmasked real briefly.
You don't
because,
like him?
Because, I mean, that guy, when I talk about 9/11, and 9/11 definitely has a huge stigma on it because it's like... Yeah, at first, a lot of people were willing. I mean, they just kind of, you know, layman watched the buildings fall down. So that looks like a demolition to me, or you know. But and they would have been willing to listen to the entire story. But, you know, there's an overfocus on the physical collapse. And then I call them Jonestown. Jonestown has just, they've been the springboard for every crazy that has ever come around, from Loose Chains to Jim Fetzer. They, you know, they put them on the air and they get them all these viewers, and you get these people that, you know, like deny a plane hit the Pentagon or think no one died at Sandy Hook and stuff like that. And then you end up looking like fucking crazy people. And so no one wants to listen to 9/11. They think you're a conspiracy moron, like, you know, conspiracy has a stigma. And it wouldn't without Alex Jones, I don't think, because every time I talk about it, I don't have a hard time convincing people the government lies. We just start with the Iraq War, the second one. It's really clear that that was not incompetence. It was intentional. I mean, the Niger forgeries is a concrete case, you know. And but with 9/11, like, boy, you think it's aliens? What, you think it's Illuminati? The Bavarian death cult and all that shit. And, you know, you got to, it's not only do you have to start explaining away the government's BS, you have to prove you're not a nutcase, because everybody's heard the Jonestown nonsense or his parrots first. And you have to go, no, I don't think they're putting gay hormones in your juice box or your light bulbs are going to control your mind or any of the crazy shit he says. You got to wipe that all out. And so I really don't like him, because I don't think he's an agent or anything. I think he's just an idiot and a paranoid person that has no filter and believes every conspiracy that comes down the pipe. And he's very good at spinning it. And he has a very large audience. And so it's a real uphill battle because of him.
It's a huge uphill battle. And he turns a lot of people on to this area. A lot of people, I think what's happened to Alex Jones is the Mirage Manning of the conspiracy thing, where Mirage Man was a documentary about the UFO experience, and the CIA assigned certain agents to UFO investigators to lead them down a different path and make them seem more kooky than they really are.
He's a path to nowhere guy. So what he does is he'll just group everybody in to be safe. He'll be like CIA, Mossad, MI6, blah, 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 and just name every organization on the planet. And then if something happens, he's like, see, I said that was right, because he basically said everything.
He's got 3 hours to fill every day, you know? So, yeah. I mean, he's got time to fill, so he's going to say everything. If you throw enough darts.
He's responsible for that whole Bohemian Grove crap, and like, he claimed German death cults, Illuminati, Freemasons. Then he was into compartmentalization, criminal elements, NWO. He always has some vague term. Like every year he'll wear it out and then he'll use a new one. The Elite, that's his newest thing. And he won't just name their fucking names and say, look, our policy in the Middle East is a Zionist policy, period. Like, that is provable. But, you know.
But isn't
his boss and his wife and himself are of a certain tribe? And he leans that way. He's flat out said, you know, he used to be much more Zionist than he is now. I mean, he used to think that Israelis are this land.
That I believe he was getting divorced from his wife. That's what the rumor is.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't care. I mean, yeah. I don't like the guy, but I don't get into his personal stuff.
Yeah, that's. I tried to avoid that as well.
I think there is something to be said about Alex Jones. What's good? What I like about Alex Jones is he has a broad audience. So
I don't dislike him as like a person. I just really hate his work because he's wrong about everything. Yeah.
And he does it to such an extreme that it will never invite anybody of a rational mindset to say, oh, well, maybe I should look into that. He just says it with such a hyperbolic, emphasis that it's almost like, well, dude, seriously, like, calm down.
That is so true. I have so many people, prominent people, famous people in some cases, who've privately told me, man, I really like your work on 9/11 and da da, but they can't come out and say it because they don't want to be associated to him, because that is a stigma you don't want to carry around. It's not, I mean, going against the government, going against the police, you could go out and protest the Iraq War all day pretty safely. You know, maybe not in the beginning, like the JC chicks got it pretty hard. But there, you know, John Cusack, and there's a lot of people who have come out against the apartheid in Israel and so on. And they still have careers and everything. But you don't touch 9/11 because that makes you sound like a lunatic.
Like,
and
this?
It's because of Alex.
Like this? Like,
I hate Bill Gates! I hate him!
Okay, it's anti-vaccine rant. Yeah, I mean, just get him. I mean, Alex is a Zionist apologist, and he does just gymnastics to avoid the elephant in the room.
He's been accused of that. Wait, let's get off Alex Jones.
I wanted to ask about – I had a couple questions that I wanted to get into, because I want to just take it back to the Paris thing, because that's on everybody's mind right now. And there's a lot of things moving around in Europe. Lots of countries talking about leaving the euro, and I wonder if the Brexit and the Grexit – and all of that has anything to do. And also, you know, you see Merkel being embarrassed by this refugee thing spilling out and becoming a bigger problem. Merkel, she was somewhat allied with Putin earlier in the year. And France has a little bit of a sensitivity to where they might listen to and entertain Russia's policy ideas once in a while. Do you think there's any coincidental sort of reason why these attacks took place? Like, does any of that tie in at all, do you think?
Well, people were moving off the euro anyway because it sucks for a variety of reasons. But, you know, I predicted the Paris attacks. I said as soon as they decided to boycott Israeli goods and they made that illegal, they said, OK, we're going to force you to label products from the occupied territories, which is essentially a boycott because nobody that's not, you know, an insane psychopath is going to want to buy products from people who are part of a racial apartheid, not this day and age. And then they got attacked. And the last time they got attacked, well, you know, the Charlie Hebdo thing was right after France recognized Palestine as a state. And simultaneous on the same days when they chopped the ISIS chopped the heads off of two Japanese journalists, which they had had in prison for over a month. They waited until Shinzo Abe met with Abbas of the PA in Palestine and gave him $100 million for reconstruction divided between Syria and Palestine, because that was right after you know, the Israelis had bombed it for the umpteenth time back in the Stone Age. And so always after these events, like if you just can ignore all that other stuff, if you focus on the Israeli angle, you will be able to make accurate predictions and understand what's going on very clearly. They did that boycott and Paris got blown to pieces. I said that. I said it on YouTube. I said it on September 10th, too, that Europe was going to get attacked and they're going to use this refugee thing as a cover, you know, blame it on them. But the purpose, reason, and direction for the attacks are always Zionist interests.
Wow.
You know, every time.
This most recent Paris attack, China has used this to go into their Western provinces and start really hammering things down. And yeah, no one's really talking about China and their Islamist problems or where, if and when they're going to fit into this Syria issue.
Japan does. Japan will say anything that's anti-China, though.
Sure. They hate them.
Yeah. Well, that's mutual.
Yeah.
they got a long history. I understand that, too. I mean, I get it. I'm not even getting in between Japanese, Chinese. That's much EST being older than the Middle Eastern complex. But, yeah, China definitely goes after their Muslim minorities. And they, you know, it's like, look, if you're going to have terrorists from the Middle East, of course they're Muslim. Everybody's Muslim in the Middle East. But if we look at the numbers, you know, of just Muslims in the world, all the way to Indonesia on it. And we're talking about a billion people. And most of these people are just mercenaries. I mean, you could say during Iran-Contra, the Contras were Catholic, because they would have been, because they're from Latin America.
Although,
it had nothing to do with why they were fighting, though.
I had to stop you real quick. PBS Frontline has a brand new documentary about ISIS and how they recruit children coming out this weekend. I believe it might be already out. And it features a very young, blonde-haired white kid that was raised in like a Christian child, white Christian child, that's being featured as a new ISIS recruit. And
where are they from?
I think they're from Syria.
They're a fair-skinned, blonde-haired Syrians.
Yeah, what? They are. It's weird that they would put the focus on like the token white kids.
That's though. What
there,
I got.
There are a lot of gingers.
That's the European spin they want to put on their crisis there.
Well, there are some Europeans involved from Chechnya. I mean, there are some Russians like Omar al-Shashani.
They're in Jabhat al-Nusra, from what I've seen on videos, at least.
Well, yeah, well, they are. But there's like it's a Chechen brigade within the... I mean, al-Nusra has always been a terrorist organization. And this is the thing. Like, people got to expand their view beyond ISIS, before ISIS was ever on the map. Al-Nusra, Jandala, MEK, al-Shabaab, all these Islamic Front, IS before that. They've always gotten support, and the Mujahideen and Al Qaeda have always gotten
funded right by the United States of America.
Yeah,
it's funny.
What was Al Qaeda in Afghanistan? Remember, it was the foreign fighters that joined there's three factions fighting there: the Northern Alliance and two different Mujahideens, and the Al Qaeda group, where all the foreign fighters came in Syria. Another 30,000 foreign fighters joining ISIS. You know, a lot from Libya and Africa. They're mercenaries. A lot of surplus weapons from Gaddafi ended up there. You know, how did they take all those guns, stick them on ships, bring them through? I mean, come on. That isn't just all organized crime. That's the CIA. It's all the CIA.
I have to ask you this because this is the kind of show we do. Is there a grand conspiracy at the highest levels? I'm talking about Illuminati kind of things. Do you ever investigate that kind of the level? Like, you know, obviously there's
not. Okay. So Yes and no. Well, one, the Illuminati has been gone for centuries, but
I know they were, but that's what
the good guys. I mean, they're the ones against the bankers and religion. They were the ones, but of course, you know, religious people say they worship the devil and all, but that was the group, the Freemasons and Illuminati. Their whole goal was to get rid of the Pope and all the kings, and they got rid of almost all the kings and reduced the Pope's power to about nothing. So, I mean, that was, you know, Jefferson and a lot of the founding fathers of the United States were Freemasons. Within the Freemasons, the Illuminati, and within the Sons of Liberty was the Masons. It's kind of a three-tier thing. But, I mean, they were the ones that were fighting with Hamilton and Alexander and the Rothschilds and all that. So, I mean, people got that stuff backwards. But
well, that's, as far as how stuff pause today... Can we pause right there? Because you sure. kind of glossed over that really quickly. And I do think that that's an important thing that I don't think a lot of people understand. Now, there was Hamilton and, like, the Jeffersonians, right, which would be, right. like, Federalists versus the Anti-Federalists. And I don't think a lot of people understand how important that is, because it's what Andrew Jackson was fighting, you know, right. like a half century, century later, you know, having the same battle, which is, and please continue. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Well, I glossed over that, but I mean, I can, you know, y'all show, I'll talk about whatever you ask. So yes, that was a huge conflict in the time of Thomas Jefferson, was over the banking sector and whether or not to continue to have a central bank. And the Alexander Hamilton faction, I mean, he would be the leader. Jeffersonians would be one of the minimalist government, the kind of minarchist type, you know, basically a post office, didn't even have a standing army, like, you know, and the bankers won out. And well, temporarily, Jefferson won. You know, he died on July 4th. Eventually, Alan Burr shot Alexander Hamilton, the best thing that man ever did. But I do think it's funny that Alexander Hamilton's getting removed from the $10 bill. Now, I'm not into this, you know, PC leftist, let's change stuff for the sake of it crap. But because it's Alexander Hamilton, I keep my mouth shut because I'm like, whatever, he sucked anyway. But yeah, he was backed by the Rothschilds and the central banks. And they're the ones, that's the, you know, the sinister side, so to speak. And yet, Alex Jonestown has it backwards, where they hate Freemasons and Illuminati is all Satan worshipers and whatever. And it's from Tex Mars and these freaking Christian lunatics that write these things, because they were anti-religious, because they thought the idea of, you know, the divine right of kings was flatly put fucking retarded, because it is. Like, I'm your king because I have royal blood. I mean, it's stupid. But what's replaced, it's been just as bad, really, because what we have today is not this pyramid structure anymore. There's the Rothschilds aren't shit anymore either. I mean, it's not, no one just owns a bank, you know, and it's not like the CEO even owns the company. You have a chairman, you have a board of directors, they have stockholders, shareholders from all over the world, all these people invested in it. If you're going to make it an analogy, it'd be more like the movie Cube. It's where the military industrial complex, it doesn't have like a boss. It's just all these different corporations, you know, going throughout their own interests. And sometimes they have overlapping interests with anything that will create a conflict. So religious factions obviously are, you know, in game theory, are very liable for conflict. So who do we support? Wahhabi Islam in Saudi Arabia, Zionist Jews in Saudi in Israel, and so on. Like, any time they're religious fanatics, bam, you got our support, because you can count on them to fight with each other, and that's good for business.
It's a business model that works.
It's a business model that works. I mean, Vietnam, helicopters and heroin, you know, they weren't fighting communism. You know, they're making military profits. They did not, after World War II, the war machine got so big, they couldn't let it go. And so, Lockheed Martin and Boeing and all these companies, no one is in total control over the world or anything like that. But each of them have a certain amount of influence, and they're all, what connects them all is they benefit from war. And so they're all going to say yes when there's a war.
As long as it's not nuclear. Because once there's nuclear involved, it's a whole different game.
That's the other thing. The advent of the atomic bomb forced people to start using proxy forces. So that was the era. World War II was the last era of first world countries fighting with each other. From that point on, because that's when the CIA was created and all these intelligence agencies, you know, they got so huge during the world wars that then you started seeing things, which I put out in my movie, from the banana wars to ISIS and everything in between. The Iran-Contra is another big blatant example. Contra is very similar to ISIS. I love using that example. But yeah, a ton of conflicts throughout Central America, Indochina, and so on, Vietnam War, where, you know, it's purely for profit. They were dropping bombs on Laos and Cambodia for nothing. They weren't even targets. It was simple math. They didn't hate them. They didn't fear them. It's worse than hate. It was indifference. Just, meh, how much can we make if we dropped X number of munitions this week in this place? They didn't give a damn about the people getting killed.
I've heard, I talked to a Vietnam veteran yesterday, and he was telling me.
Bullshit.
He crashed into my car, and I was going to file a claim against him until that tree.
His name McCain?
No, it's not. It was a guy. He said he was in.
Oh, he only crashed one time. Not five. Sorry.
Did he start singing at the hospital?
No, it wasn't that kind of. He was infantry. He said he was a mortar guy with the infantry, and he was telling me about how they would send jets through the exact same flight path every day, even though they knew the jets would get shot down, because it would just make the military industrial complex more money. And I didn't fact check the guy. But like
they were losing 20 helicopters a week at one point. And Bell, that made the helicopters, their whipping boy was Lyndon Johnson when he was a congressman. And then he became vice president. And we all know how he became president. And Lyndon Johnson was sleeping with an Irgun terrorist, Matilda Krim, Zionist operative, was his, fuck buddy. I mean, he's actually at her house the day of the 1967 invasion. He was responsible for the USS Liberty. I mean, you can't get any more Zionist than Lyndon Johnson. And yet, the Liberty isn't talked about, him sleeping with Matilda Krim, and all his Zionist connections are never talked about. What we hear about with JFK is Oliver Stone's version, where the biggest Israeli arms dealer is the producer.
I have a childish, maybe naive question for you. Because I really want to know. So after World War II, the United States got some Nazi intelligence officers to kind of start the CIA. And we got some Nazi rocket scientists to start up the, NASA. We got a lot of Nazis in our government. So why would Israel want to work with us?
Why? They don't have a problem with that. They work with the Nazis too.
So I'm kind of confused.
Scientists are scientists,
But they're fucking. But okay, and this is why it's a childish question. They help exterminate a lot of the Jews and persecute the Jews in Germany, and now they're working with the United States government. Why wouldn't the new state of Israel we're not going to work with you as long as you got these Nazis hanging around you?
No, they wouldn't care. I mean, none of these places care about people getting murdered. I mean, look at the Allied powers. The Americans started on probably the largest genocide ever in the history of the world. Then the Canadians, same thing in their area. The British had stomped all over Africa and India. French.
Look at Dresden. We bombed the city into molten metal, killed thousands, hundreds of thousands of civilians.
There was boiling for no reason. Boiling fat in the asphalt and children, zoos, whatever. They killed everything. But it wasn't just Dresden. It was Cologne. It was Hamburg. It was parts of Berlin. I mean, they burned everything. In Japan, they did even worse. I mean, they nuked two of the cities and they firebombed everything else. They didn't take any prisoners. Those are Holocausts in my book. And things since World War II have been Holocausts. We killed 2 million people in Vietnam. We killed 1 million people in the Korean War. We've killed 1 million Iraqis. I mean, millions and millions of people have been murdered since World War II, but they're not looked at with the same degree of stigma and evil as what the Nazis did or what they're accused of. And
it's like that clip with Madeleine Albright saying that it was worth it. Okay. To have all those kids, those babies basically killed because they were being denied food and medicine from the Iraq.
Can you imagine? The exceptionalism is just, it's like a mental disorder. If 500,000 French died or 500,000 Americans starved to death from sanction, it would be, just wouldn't happen. It couldn't even get to that point. But it just goes on and on. And people look at Bill Clinton like he was, compared to Bush, or they think he's great. He had a great economy. But he did not. He spent the Social Security Trust Fund and he spent the Native American Royalties Trust Fund. And there's where all your surplus money came from. Because now it's just sitting there with IOUs, which I call they OUs, which is more accurate. That's all that's sitting there in Social Security and saying, well, here's a IOU note. It's like from Dumb and Dumber type of stuff.
Hey, Ryan, how did you get into all this stuff? You're very well versed and educated. How did you get into this?
I wrote a book called The Separation of Business and State that went over economic fuckery, basically. And so I did a lot of research when I was writing that book. How did I get into all of this stuff?
Yeah, like, I mean, this is a very particular viewpoint of the world that not many people have. And to get down, like, you're not born like this, and unless you have really insanely educated parents. So how did you come to attain this knowledge and come to think this way?
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, I grew up on an island, so I'm pretty removed from everything. And, you know, even when I was in fifth grade, I was, you know, 10 years old, I could see how the government was interfering with the beach erosion process and people trying to protect their properties from erosion, and how the Park Service and federal government agencies were, you know, in collusion with pseudo environmental groups, were damaging people's homes and businesses and purposely driving them out, because this is an island that doesn't have any franchises and people don't want to sell. It's a classic Dukes of Hazzard scenario where they want to buy the Duke farm. And I mean, that was actually happening. That story was based out of North Carolina, by the way. The TV show wasn't, but the original story. Anyway, that got me political. And I remember arguing in fifth grade about why we ought to have a line item veto to cut pork out of bills, and how it's wrong that, you know, it's not one subject on a bill. They lump all this other stuff. And if the president goes against it, the media will jump on him for that. And if he supports it, they'll jump on him for the bad stuff he supported. Like, why do you have multiple things in one bill? We need a line item veto. I later changed my mind. But that's what how I used to think when I was a child. Then I realized how much compromising goes in to make this pork and whatever. But, I guess I'd always been political. I just saw it as important. I used to watch Ronald Reagan on TV when I don't understand anything he was saying. I just thought, this is the leader of the world, right? So I would listen to it. So it'll be in my head somewhere later.
So, how do you deal with it? So we get some emails sometimes from listeners like, this is pretty insane stuff. How do you deal with this kind of information? Whether it's right or wrong, it can be kind of stressful to understand the world this way, hence all the distractions that we have.
I have a degree in history. I mean, that helps a lot.
Oh, boo, you're educated. Fuck you.
Right. There is a lot of boo, you're educated, fuck you. And I partially agree with that, because there are a lot of fucktards in colleges. There are three kinds of people that go to good colleges.
Shouting down people they don't agree with when they come to speak. You think there's some fucktards in college? Look at the Masao shit or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, it's oh, Jesus. I know. Well, I feel like a lot of that's been in the last 10, 12 years, too. It's gotten a lot worse. But when I went to a very good school, William & Mary, and what I noticed, there are the three types of people there. You've got your super rich people, and you've got your super smart people. And sometimes you have your super rich, super smart people. Where, you know, sometimes super rich people are smart, but most of the time they're fucking dumb. And they're all coming out with the same degrees, you know. And so there's a way to, I mean, look at Bush went to Yale, you know. That should discredit that university, right? Look at Ben Carson. He's a fucking brain surgeon or neurosurgeon. And he thinks grain was stored in the pyramids. And we had a congressman. You hear about Hank Johnson?
No, congressman from Georgia.
Oh, okay. This is the best. This is like worse than Sarah Palin. He's a Democrat from Georgia, and he was talking about Guam.
Oh, my God.
Territory.
Yeah.
This the guy who was saying that?
Do you have the clip?
The island tipping over?
He's going to capsize and sink.
I'll look it up.
Yeah.
Grown-ass adult. While he's getting that. Yeah, he was like, oh, it's going to sink. The best was the admiral he was talking to. I think it was a 4-star admiral. Some bald white guy with a mustache, and he just looked at him, didn't laugh or anything, just looked him dead in the eyes like, no, sir, that is not a concern at this time. I can't even do it.
He was trying to be professional about it. I remember, yeah.
He did kind of, his corner of his mouth went up, but these military guys are real, I mean, straight face, just, no, sir, that's not a concern at this time.
Yeah.
I'm like, how come the room didn't just go, oh? And then his team tried to spin it. And you know the guys that were running against him, or the women, or whoever it was, must have just been high-fiving in the back. Like, he said it! Oh! And you know what? He got reelected.
I have the clip right here.
Oh, please.
I can play.
This is an island that, at its widest level...
No, fast forward a bit. He talks about 12 miles, 7 miles, and then he'll say... If you put too much personnel on one side, that it could
tip over,
capsize, tip over, and oh my God,
7 miles between one shore and the other.
He sounds high.
Is that correct? Yeah.
I don't have the exact dimensions, but to your point, sir, I think Guam is a small island.
Very small island, and about 24 miles, if I recall, long.
Long.
So 24 miles long, about 7 miles.
But he doesn't know the area.
He does. The admiral's like, "What the fuck are you talking about?"
On the island, and about 20, or I don't know how many square miles that is. Do you happen to
really supply it to you if you'd like?
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
Now, this is on.
Keep going. It's where he says, "No, sir."
Yeah, let's play the whole thing. Let's play it.
We don't anticipate that. The the Guam population, I think, currently about 175,000. And again, with 8,000 Marines and their families, it's an addition of about 25,000 more into the population.
You know, I'm here in Japan, and people have seen, you know, this kind of stuff because the Guam and Okinawa situation are related because they're rotating Marines around. And they're like, "Did he just say that? Is that the bad translation?" I'm like, "Nah, he said it."
So that reminds me of the Rothschild guy saying that they should bring dry ice to the Antarctic. Do you remember this clip at all?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Dry ice to the Antarctic?
Yeah, he was saying he was going to capture all the CO2 and turn it into dry ice and stop global warming.
Oh, God.
Some of that's got to be satirical. I would have
to. Were you guys the hole in the ozone stuff when you were kids?
Yeah, I remember that.
That was the climate change when I was a kid. It was the hole in the ozone.
Yeah, I'm 38 in December. So, yeah, I remember going through all that stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I mean, it was pounded in through middle school and everything. The hole in the ozone. We're all going to die. It's going to flood. And there was global freezing before that.
Global cooling.
There's always a new Noah's Ark story. And the thing is with that is, like, no one wants to sound anti-science, right? Like, obviously, I'm in with science.
A new religion. Why would you be a heretic?
Right. But people have to look at how manipulated science is by economics. I mean, they used to say, reefer madness with marijuana. Like, it's going to make you crazy, you know. And that was science.
Public.
Yeah. And they said it. Yeah, I don't know. Reefer madness, and they said cigarettes were healthy.
Yep.
They said
they're not.
When I was a child, they told people could spontaneously combust, which is not true. Little things too, like they said your tongue was segmented. Did you ever hear when you're younger, like the tip of your tongue was for sweets and the back was for bitter?
Yeah.
That's not true either. Yeah, but they taught this in school, and it was just misinterpreted data in scientific journals. But there's sometimes. You know, look, if it doesn't matter what someone's conclusions are when their preliminary data is skewed, and they flat out got caught talking about the hockey stick stuff. I mean, they were fudging numbers. That doesn't mean that the globe is not warming, and it doesn't mean it is. But it does mean that whether it is or not, they tried to lie about it because they didn't have the proof for it.
Yeah, that whole thing is a huge issue. I was in a fight on Reddit about that crap today. But I'm curious, from your perspective, as you see it, from another country, paying as much attention to it as you do, what in the world do people do about it? Because I personally feel like on election day in 2016, the American people should not go to the polls. They should not go to work, and they should refuse to go to work until the federal government responds to the demands of the American people, which is, let's talk about what really needs to be fixed here, because this is bullshit. Voting is not going to fix any of this crap anymore.
I'm all for that, because I up and left. So not only not working there, I'm working somewhere else.
Yeah.
But I do want to clarify too, like, I'm not a science person. I mean, I'm into science, but I'm not, you know. You don't have to listen to me on that, but I am into history. And what I can tell you, though, like, from global freezing to the hole in the ozone to now, and there is a long history of well-known established scientific thought that gets debunked because it always had economic prejudices. And so you should always, when you look at science, especially on major things that are roped into carbon emissions, which is also into agriculture, because it, remember when they were saying cow poop was global warming?
Oh yeah, I mean, methane.
It's close, as close as you can get to saying bullshit, literally.
Yeah,
I mean, exactly. Cow shit. It's in pretty much
this year was pumpkins. If you your jack-o'-lanterns are causing global warming. I don't know if you saw this in the States.
And so it's like anytime, even when there is a legit environmental concern, the exaggerations that are piled on top of it are enormous, and they always do this. And a lot of these agencies were created to get rid of American Indians. And when you go all the way back to the Forest Reserve and the Park Service and these groups, it was no longer acceptable in the world community to just ride up and shoot people or kill buffalo. I mean, it had gotten to the point where there's enough pressure to say, look, you can't just kill, kill people like that. And so what their new pretext to steal Indian land was environmental and scientific reasons. And of course, it's not really, I mean, they ended up making it worse. But through environmental pretext and preservation, you know, Teddy Roosevelt and stuff, oh, I'm preserving. It was just a way to monopolize resources, get it off market competition, and allow the government to make more money off of land they were stealing from Indians.
And that's what that was. Agenda.
So, yeah, and yep. And so, like, I don't trust them, you know. And you can believe what you want on the science, but if you look at it historically, with major things like this, they lie to you over and over and over. And the proposed solutions don't even reduce carbon emissions anyway. No. All they do is play around with who can release what, and they allow smaller farmers and ranchers to, you know, you get allocated a certain amount to sell their allotment to the larger ones, which gives the larger government subsidized, by the way, socialism, big ag, a monopoly on distribution, because the smaller farms aren't producing anymore. Because why work and get paid when you can get paid to not work? All you got to do is sell your allotment out. So they are, and that has given a monopoly to big ag, which was the goal. And big ag is a conduit for big pharma, because this is complicated. But basically, the laws and conditions they've set to get the largest subsidies are such that if you pack, like factory farms, you pack animals together and you get the most, you know, as many cows, chickens, et cetera, on your land as possible, you get more subsidies. But those conditions create the need for antibiotics and steroids and all these drugs, which are from big pharma. So actually, big pharma, through farm subsidies, is indirectly being subsidized by the government, because they need all these drugs and pesticides and so on for the farms and for the animals. And so it's just a big money game, and people aren't looking at that and the economics of it. They're just saying, you know, oh, climate change, oh, chicken with the head running off, chicken little, the sky is falling. And say, well, look, even if that is true, this is not a solution, because you're getting the exact same emissions as before.
Yeah.
So, Ryan, thank you.
So you're voting for Bernie Sanders?
Yeah. Is this
I believe. Is that probably what's going on?
He's not here. He's not going to vote.
I'm not.
Are you still not?
I have an absentee ballot, but.
Well, I hope you're being sarcastic.
I'll send you my votes.
Of course I'm being sarcastic.
Just being
fucking serious. Here's the guy who's basically, he's one of these people who is like, oh, you've got more property, so you've got rain falling on your land, and now you've got more rainwater than your neighbors, and you deserve...
Yeah, and you have two pairs of underpants? Come on. It's 2015.
We need to give...
Yeah, how much of his own wealth has he redistributed, you know? This guy, also, he's totally pro-war. He's like anti-war, like Obama.
He's a huge Zionist. He's such a
From Kosovo to now, I mean, he's supported every single war except Gulf War II. And that was an anti-Bush thing, not an anti-war thing.
Oh, that was a part of it.
I had it for 2 years and 11 months. He totally supported it. Voted to finance it 3 times.
He voted to Patriot Act permanent. He wanted the Patriot Act to be permanent, from what I understand.
Yeah, he voted for every time it had its sunrise. He was there to vote for it. It's the Imperial Senate. Usually the Senate was voting 100-0. And in Congress, you also get your... Your total partisan hacks.
In 2001, there was one Oregon senator who gave the dissent, the Patriot Act. Can't remember his name.
Was it Fink? I know who you're talking about.
He gave the only dissent in the Senate. It's actually a pretty famous video. Because he warned us all about what was exactly going to happen.
Well, if you don't mind, I want to move on a little bit. Ryan, you're more than welcome to stick around, but I want to touch on some things that you probably absolutely hate, which is kookiness and goofiness and UFO stuff.
And redheads.
And redheads. You hate UFOs. So I've been watching. I'm a consummate UFO guy. I think there's something there. And every president that has gotten in since Truman has asked about UFOs. And there's a lot of proof about it. Even Bill Clinton got in and asked about JFK, asked about UFOs, and was...
But there's always unidentified flying objects.
Sure.
The thing is that from other countries or space aliens? That's the big divide.
Sure. And so here's my theory of why it's so important for Hillary to get elected, or why she believes it's so important to get elected. Because Bill was very curious about UFOs. I mean,
he's governor of small state.
He's governor of small state. I'm
curious about UFOs.
I'm very curious about UFOs. But I think he, as soon as he got in the office, he talked about Roswell. Hey, and you remember
Hillary Clinton's very curious. You know about that, right?
Oh, yeah, big time.
I have a relative who's in the Secret Service, was her bodyguard, and I know for a fact how curious she is and what her fetishes are, but it's too nasty for radio.
No, it's not.
I'm ready for it.
Wait, are you serious? Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. We can talk about power coming on here.
All right. Well, yeah, you apparently, have no idea. here's the dirt. And, you know, this, my relative was a pallbearer for President Ford when he died. Like, his shoulders in a lot of photos of the Clintons.
Oh, yeah.
He's passed away now, so I can go ahead and tell this. Hillary Clinton is a dom, and she's apparently got a big fetish. She likes to walk around in her pantyhose all day and stuff, and then rip them open and have the girl eat her out with a nasty unwashed cunt.
Can you handle that?
This is worse than war in Syria.
It gets worse, but no.
So I think it's.
Do you want the worst?
Oh yeah, yeah.
No filter here. Here for buddy.
Yeah, I don't ever say this stuff on YouTube. Or whatever, it's just disgusting. So you know what a 6.9 is?
No.
Think about
bomber. Bomber.
Oh, 69.
Okay, but 6.9
is a Richter scale.
Oh, 6.9 is that?
Oh
like
my
a,
God!
Double sided.
Got it.
She's in the chubby it's chicks.
It's 69 with a period in the middle.
Oh, that is so weird.
Oh, yeah.
Well, y'all 6.9? What's wrong with you? No.
She can't do that shit by now. She's in menopause so bad.
This was in the 90s, though.
I think so.
It doesn't have to be her.
My non.
It's true. It can be the partner.
My.
Oh, man.
Winning.
nice drop.
I think.
So yeah, that's thoroughly fucking disgusting. So,
but that's what it takes to get into the White House.
You got to get her. She can. Please don't.
Let's get her on the podcast.
No, I think she should. I think
definitely go to war with Iran. Definitely,
Ryan. Don't you think though that like the sooner we get Hillary Clinton or another Bush voted in, the sooner everyone's going to go, holy crap! I think I've been stupid forever. Maybe I should do something because everybody still thinks.
Oh, you're overestimating. You've seen Idiocracy, the movie.
Yeah.
Idiocracy.
Oh, yeah, love that movie.
It's a prophecy.
I know that, but. We are living it.
I watched Back to the Future during, the October 21st thing. Yeah. Actually went back to the past from Japan because I flew to L.A. on that day. So technically I was 8 hours from the future.
Ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm 16 hours ahead because of the flight. Anyway, I landed 8 hours ahead of that. So I was watching the Back to the Future 2. So I've seen, you guys have seen this, but they go back to the 1985 when Biff was in charge.
Spoilers. Go ahead.
Yeah. but watching it now, I think everybody's seen it, but watching it now, Biff's 1985 was more like today than the futuristic 2015. We were much more like the Biff 1985.
That's get your damn hands off her.
Yeah.
Guam is sinking. You know, I always hated Biff as a kid, but watching all of it again, that guy's hilarious. I mean,
he's good.
He's good. He's really funny. Such an ass.
My theory of why Hillary wants to get into the presidency is to appoint Bill Clinton to the UN as an ambassador. He will eventually become the secretary, and at that point in time, he can usher in disclosure for the UFO phenomenon, because Bill Clinton is very curious about it. I think Bill Clinton's press secretary, his first one, has come out about disclosure about UFOs, and he believes that there's something is there. Well, I mean, this black budget money is being funneled somewhere. There's a lot of black budget money. There's a lot of money being floated around in the industrial military complex being used for very weird shit.
The stealth bomber, for example, was made on black budget, and that was the triangle lights they kept seeing over Mexico. That's what it was.
No, I don't believe that.
It was.
No?
I don't believe it. I mean, depends what time frame you're talking about. If you're talking about the Phoenix lights, that's something entirely different.
It would have been around, 1989,
90, 91. Talking about 1995?
Yeah. I heard about the stealth bomber. I lived down the street from a guy who, one of my best friends growing up, his father worked on the stealth bomber program, stealth fighter program. I heard the name stealth in 1985. So those are already out. We're talking about the Project Orion. We're talking about Project Aurora. We're talking about different types of craft. And so whatever flew over Phoenix is a different type of craft. And the whole UFO phenomenon was created to cover up the fact that the government projects, yeah. And they have some really advanced propulsion systems that they're not telling anybody about, because it's really fucking cool shit.
But what happens is you get people talking about space aliens and shit, and then no one wants to look at the black budgets and the actual real man-made UFOs and enormous waste of money that they're dumping in this stuff. It's a sweet way to launder money. These planes, like the F-35 jointly built in Israel, or the F-22, you're talking about a $480 million aircraft for one of them.
But does it really
cost that much to put it all together?
No.
Not really. You know, it's just a way to launder money. You buy one of those planes, they'll send like a dozen to Saudi Arabia, buy 12 of them, and that's $500 million a plane, pretty much. $500 million. You're talking about almost $6 billion for a dozen of these planes. And so, and then where all the rest of that money going, that's how they launder money. And that's how you pay for black operations in general. Mainly it's from narcotics. That's number one.
Yep.
And then illegal arms sales. And then your illegal arms sales, where every gadget on board has been inflated umpteen zillion times. And they pay for some very sinister, nasty stuff. I mean, you've got these pedophilia rings, you've got human trafficking, you've got the worst things you can imagine, worse than Hillary Clinton's sexcapades even. And it happens in plain view. I mean, look at all those rapes in the UK by that Pakistani
group. Look at them in Sweden.
The rape capital of the world right now. And I have people who are still saying, well, that's because Sweden has very liberal definitions for what rape is. So, like, you can just look at a woman and it's rape now. So that's why their rape is so high.
Stop eyeball raping me.
Yeah. But they actually do get their women raped. Like, some people are being actually raped to death, like, literally, by Islamic migrants.
Well, yeah.
And wait, real quick, we're supposed to believe that the patriarchy in the West and the rape culture in the West is oppressing women. Yet, meanwhile, we're also supposed to accept that all these migrants are innocent people who just want a better life and everything else. I don't know.
What confuses me is why these libertards don't say, okay, you're eyeball raping and feminist, blah, 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 third wave feminist bullshit, pay gap, blah, blah, blah. But in Saudi Arabia, women can't even drive a car, and
they can't vote, and they get stoned to death. If they get raped, there's need three or more witnesses.
Right?
Yeah.
Saudi Arabia, and it's not just Saudi Arabia either. It's like, but they have such a problem with saying, but that can't be religion. Like, yes, it can. You're not saying all Muslims are all whatever, but look, there are some factions with the name, the faith does contribute to this. I mean, they didn't just come out of the blue. That's a fact. I mean, their Christianity in general doesn't blow up abortion hospitals and stuff, but there are factions of them that do, and it definitely is caused by their faith. That's where they get the belief from. They don't want to, they'll rip to death on Christians, but not on other religions.
Oh.
So what I think's really going on is they have this very, very strong inferiority complex. And what they see as strong, the West or like straight white men or whatever their fucking target is, that's their real agenda, is their prejudice towards that. And they don't really care about social justice, like they say.
I completely agree with you. They don't care about social justice. They just have an agenda.
It's a personal vendetta. You know, they like to hate on somebody. It's socially acceptable in American society to hate on cisgender white males.
It is. Cisgender being the key word. Because
that's the thing, like you were saying earlier, that's really the new religion. Because, I mean, I'm an atheist, but I'm not a dick about it. Like, I don't care what someone wants to do, but... You know, I personally, the same reason I don't believe in unicorns is I don't believe in other stuff. But they're like, it's perfectly okay to rip on the president. You can rip on Christians. You can rip on guys. All that's fine. You can talk down on any head of government. But you can't talk about Israel. And you also can't go against this transgender crap and stuff. That's the kind of shit that would get you fired. If you're an academic in a college and you say something about the apartheid in Israel, you can lose your job. If you want to say bad things about Obama, if you want to say retarded things, like he's a secret Muslim from Kenya, you can say that and it's fine. But there are certain things that are too taboo to talk about, certain tribe that you can't talk about. And that, I believe, is that there's a certain push by these people to divide others and to masculinize women and to attack gender roles. And if they were reversed, then they'd go the other way to get different races and sexes. And I mean, when you don't live in America and you talk to Europeans, Asians, etc., Americans are obsessed with biological categories. Oh. You just don't get that. I was talking to some Irish guys yesterday. They're like, yeah, I mean, every American's like, and they list their fucking heritages. Like, who gives a damn? But they're so, like, built on, I'm this, I'm gay, I'm straight. And they quantify everything like that. Like, as a black, as a gay, as a lesbian, as a ex, you know, as a something.
It's funny you say that because I am actually gay. I'm married to my husband. Married him before. Yeah, I know. Surprise. Sorry, Mike. I should have told you earlier. No, but I'm gay. I've been married for a few years now, and I did it as sort of an act of protest because I live in Georgia, which is not a gay married state, and I don't believe in government.
But it is now.
It is now. All of them are now. And I did it kind of just to piss people off down here. But I am one of these people who is sitting here scratching my head saying, how is it that Caitlyn Jenner can be named Woman of the Year when the dude has a penis? Like,
it's just a guy that got surgery. Like, I'm okay. It should be, what is it, LGBT? LGB, fine. There is no T, you know? And so, because it's just, I mean, just be gay. It's fine. Or be bi or whatever. Who gives? It doesn't matter. But transgender is Fruit Loopy. It's like, dude, you can't just will yourself into being a woman. You're a guy. You might be a gay guy, whatever, you might want to be a woman, but you know, getting surgery doesn't make you a woman. You're just a dude that got surgery, and that's
my favorite thing.
Get a sex change.
Well, yes, they could get a sex change, but like these are the same group, which is usually the left, and they're saying, "Oh, well, you're a science denier because you don't believe 97% of scientists," which has been debunked. Yet they want me to believe that Bruce Jenner is a woman. When did biology, like, did that go away? Like, it's like you're a dude with a freaking hormone treatment. You're not a woman. Like, let's be freaking honest.
Well, I'm a Super Saiyan because I like Dragon Ball, and I'm going to start walking around with the armor and stuff, and I want everybody to refer to me.
Oh, hell no, man. What's your level?
It's so stupid. It's like you can't surgically attach a tail to yourself and walk around with a flamethrower and claim to be a dragon. You can do that if you want. But you're not really a dragon. You know, that's the difference. You know, like you can get a sex change and pretend to be a woman and you can change your name. I'll call him Caitlin if that's what he wants, but I'm still going to call him he because he is a he. And that's, you know, tough. Yeah. And that stuff's just nuts. And it's like, totally nuts. They want to group it in with the same oppression of minorities, of minority groups and gays and stuff. No, it's not the same struggle at all. These are people that just made it's like, and that's why I think there are a portion of homosexuals that are more defined about seeking attention than they are because they just happen to like the same sex.
I absolutely agree with you.
And that, and it's like, I would not have known you were gay unless you told me. There are other people I know are gay immediately. Like this whole thing with the lisp. They don't actually have a lisp. They just fake
they
one.
They practice it. Dude, I... Yeah.
Look, it's been, just like, I grew there up are people who do have a lisp that aren't homosexual that everybody thinks is gay. They've taken that over.
I've been working on my lisp, but it hasn't worked out. Hey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to cut you off. This is the time to show where we have to do headlines, and I'd love to get Ryan's take.
All right, we get Ryan Dalton here on headlines.
Exactly.
Unless, now it's time for the
Ryan, how you doing? News. You want me to hang on for headlines?
Yeah.
Boner.
We got another half hour of headlines where we read through the headlines and give our take on the headlines. I think this segment gets a bit hilarious. And that is for ASC members, or you can just go over to our Big Dumb Mouth website and hear it for free, because the link is below in the description. However, if you're a member, all you have to do is click the other link below. The Empire Unmasked is on sale. Apparently, they passed it around anyway. I prefer you not do that. Please encourage people who want to see the film, who you want to see the film, to just pay $20, because that's how I make all the future films, and it's very, very important that I sell this one to get that out so that I can make more and have better information and get it out there. It's an unfortunate thing. That's just the consequence of it. Please don't pirate. Do encourage people to see it. Do share the link, but do encourage them to just pay the money. You can put it on layaway if you like, $5 at a time or something. But it's very important, and I do very much appreciate your support.